Hey, I'm Michaela LaFrac, the host of Vermont Edition. The podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Montpelier's Thomas Christopher Green is an internationally best-selling author and the founder of the Vermont College of Fine Arts. This year, he published his first nonfiction book of short stories. Later this hour, he's going to give us a peek inside the cover. But first, if you are looking for a unique travel experience this summer without spending money on a plane ticket, look no further than Quebec. In the winter, we brought you our recommendations for cold weather travel in Quebec. And now we are doing the same with summer. Today, we will share stories of beautiful outdoor destinations to explore and art galleries, theaters, bars, and restaurants in Quebec's major cities. Here to guide us is Jen Rose Smith. She's a travel writer based in Richmond, and she's the guest editor of a new Quebec summer travel supplement by 7 Days, which just came out. Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
We are so glad to have you. And Jen, as I just told you, I'm on the tail end of a never-ending cold, so I appreciate you and our listeners bearing with me and my very stuffy nose. So Jen, you have lived in Vermont since 2009. What's your connection to Quebec?
As soon as I moved to Vermont, I got pretty excited about going north to Quebec. I mean, Montreal is an amazing city. I had never been before I moved to the east from California, and the more I saw, the more I wanted to explore. So I've kind of been going farther and wider in the last 15 years. Definitely Montreal was the gateway, but now I've been to a fair amount of the southern portion of Quebec and really love it.
Mm. And you told me when we first talked that you've started to see Quebec and Vermont as kind of interconnected, even though they're, you know, there's a border dividing them. They're part of different countries.
I do. I mean, I think of Quebec and Vermont as being a part of this broader culture shed. We have this history and geography and even languages that we have in common that go back a long ways. And expanding my view of where I live to this broader area really feels inspiring. It feels kind of expansive and fun.
Mm. When did you first start to get a sense while you were in Vermont that there are all these ties between our state and our neighbors up north?
When I was first getting my career going as a writer, I was also tending bar at the Winooski VFW, and a lot of the guys who were regulars there talked about their grandparents, who they called Mamère and Papère, and a lot of them had come to Vermont a couple generations ago to work in the factories in Winooski. That was my first sense of how much French-Canadian culture there was in Vermont.
Wow. Tending bar at a VFW in Winooski was a really fun job.
I loved it.
So many stories, I'm sure.
A fair few.
So 7 Days' new travel supplement has lots in it about the Quebec region. And later in the hour, we're going to be joined by a Canadian food and wine expert. So I'll ask if we save our restaurant-specific talk for a little bit later. And let's start outside. One writer in this supplement shares the story of a whale watching station that I found so interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
This is a really special place. So it's in the Gaspé Peninsula, which is that long piece of land that you see on the southern edge of the St. Lawrence River. And the whale watching observation site is called Putaptaut, and it's a collaboration between a marine mammal group in Quebec and Wolastoqiyik Wasabegook First Nation. And it's a place where you can see the whales from land, which is much less disruptive than going out in a boat. And because it's kind of a sheltered area, you can see mothers and babies. So beluga whales come to this area to give birth. And there's actually a specific subspecies of beluga whales that can only be found in the St. Lawrence River estuary. So it's pretty special.
That's amazing. Have you had the chance to go there? Did the writer who worked on this get a chance to go?
It's actually brand new. So
oh, wow.
It opens the third week of June on National Indigenous Peoples Day. But I have been to the Gaspé Peninsula, and so has the writer. So, you know, it's a really gorgeous area and definitely worth checking
out. What does it
look
like?
In some ways, there's things that are familiar from Vermont, you know, kind of the broader Appalachian Mountains region where you see these kind of rounded mountains and mixed deciduous and evergreen forests. But then the St. Lawrence is so big and so expansive. And the mountains do get pretty big. Like, as you head out down the Gaspé Peninsula, you get to the Chic-Chac Mountains, where I've ski toured. And it feels more alpine, more wild, and more northerly than I would have guessed, given the latitude.
Wow. Even in the summer, does it kind of retain that chill about it?
I mean, it's pretty summer resorty in a sense.
Yeah.
During the summer months, I road tripped through the Gaspé one July, and you really have this sense that people are kind of like posting up for the summer on the beach and bringing their families and hanging out in the river and boating. So it's a really wonderful place that time of year as well.
Mm. Well, to our listeners, if you have been to any of the places that we are discussing today, we would love to hear your Quebec travel stories. You could call in at 800-639-2211 or email them to us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. We'll collect a list of all of the places that we hear about today from Jen Rose Smith and from others on our website on vermontpublic.org. And you can also read more in 7 days' new travel supplement in print and online. Now, Jen, you reported a story yourself for this supplement about a UNESCO World Heritage site. What's it called?
Yeah, so this is Anticosti Island, and it was added to the UNESCO Geopark list in 2023. So it's one of the newest UNESCO sites in Canada. And it's a pretty good-sized island right at the mouth of the St. Lawrence River as it opens onto the Atlantic Ocean. And it's wild. Like, very, very few people go there. I think just 1,000 people visited last year. Far more deer than people.
Just 1,000 people?
1,000 people visited last year.
That's nothing.
Yeah, and it's just not that far away. I mean, I think from people in many parts of the world, it's impossibly remote. It's so far. But for Vermonters, it's kind of a longish drive and a short flight. Or you can take an overnight ferry, which I think is a very romantic way to travel. And Anticosti Island is famous among geologists because it's the best place in the world to see fossils from the late Ordovician mass extinction, which is the first of 5 big extinctions.
And I'm very impressed, by the way, that word just rolled off of your tongue, Jen.
I mean, I have never been, and it has always captured my imagination. So you walk, and there's fossils under feet and fossils in the walls. And I think that part of what has captured my imagination is that so few people have been there. So as I was preparing for this story, I emailed every professional geologist I could find in the state of Vermont to see if any of them had been. And none of them had, but you could just see in their emails how much enthusiasm they had for it. I think it's an evocative place, and its remoteness is really evocative, too.
Wow. Do you think you'll ever have the chance to
Absolutely.
Go?
Yeah. The ferry that you take to Anticosti Island, you depart Rimouski, which is in the Gaspé, and it's about 24 hours to Anticosti, but then it continues for the entire week and go out the north shore of the St. Lawrence and then up that eastern coast, and that is a dream for me.
Wow. That sounds amazing. How did you decide that this was what you wanted to write about for this issue?
I mean, it has just occupied my imagination. And then last winter solstice, I was at a friend's house in Richmond, and he had traveled to Anticosti Island and shot a deer there and brought it back and prepared it for the solstice dinner. So that was kind of my sense. Okay, people really are going up there, just not very many.
That sounds very spiritual. Very spiritual meal. And you used to be a pastry chef, right?
Too? Yes.
So I imagine food holds something, is close to your heart.
Yeah, I mean, food moves me for sure.
Yeah. Tell us about the first dark sky reserve in the Eastern Townships.
Oh, I think this is so cool. So there's a network of international dark sky reserves throughout the world. And the very first international dark sky reserve is in Mont-Mégantic, which is a pretty remote, quiet area of the Eastern Townships. And establishing that dark sky reserve, there's always this connection to astronomy and observation there because there's a long-running academic observatory in Mont-Mégantic. But establishing that dark sky reserve meant working with the communities to limit light pollution, ensure it was going to be a great place to watch the stars for many generations, and also to kind of implement education programs. So you can go to Mont-Mégantic and watch the Perseid meteor shower this summer. You can go to an astronomy festival. So it's something that they really work on drawing the community into. And so it's just a place that has gathered a lot of energy around spectacular night skies.
Wow. Do you know if there are any dark sky reserves in our region in the United States, or do you have to travel north to Canada?
There are not any dark sky reserves of that kind that I know of in this part of the United States. Mount Desert Island is known for quite dark skies, and they have an observation festival. Yeah. Otherwise, the really big dark sky reserves are in the west. You can kind of see how the big stretches of open space in the west would be given to really great stars.
Wow. Well, I feel like with the combination of the northern lights showing that just happened a couple weeks ago with the solar eclipse, everybody's eyes are on the skies this year.
Absolutely. I very much feel that way. I missed the eclipse, but I did sleep in my backyard for the northern lights and was really excited about the whole thing.
Oh, that's incredible. Good for you. I missed that one. So we each got one at least. We have a couple recommendations for travel in Quebec during the summer coming in via email. Sean writes, anyone who enjoys Vermont breweries should check out Dunham Brewery in Dunham, not far over the border from Franklin County. Very good IPAs and other beers as well. Have you heard of this brewery?
I have heard that there are amazing breweries in the Eastern Townships. I mean, just generally, the Eastern Townships is kind of one of the really big destinations for farm-to-table food and drink. But I have not been to that brewery. Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, thanks for the recommendation, Sean. We also have a call coming in. And if you want to call in and share your recommendations for traveling in Quebec, especially during the summer, our number is 800-639-2211. Andrea is calling from Montreal. Andrea, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Actually, I'm from Montpelier, not Montreal.
Oh, excuse us.
Yeah, and I just wanted to give a shout out for Orion National Park up on the Gaspé Peninsula. I was there, will be 2 years ago this September, and it's just a spectacular national park. It's actually way up there at the very tip of the Gaspé. There are actually two sections, the north and the south. It's very family friendly. It's a great place for folks to go with their kids. They've got beaches, incredible hiking trails, and there's a wonderful heritage project that's just being developed there where there's a lot of recognition for the indigenous people who lived in that area even before any Europeans arrived, and they've been renaming things. So you see signs that are in French and in English and also in the native language of the area. And I spent four nights camping up there in the two different sections, and it was wonderful. I can't say enough about it.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. Can I ask, how did you hear about this place? How did you decide to go?
Well, I have friends who are Canadians who live in Montpelier, but they spend the summers up on the St. Lawrence right at the beginning of the Gaspé Peninsula. And I was going up to visit them, and I got this idea in my head that I wanted to circumnavigate the Gaspé. And they had done that many years ago and highly recommended making it all the way around. And also, this is another little recommendation, if someone's going up there, it's highly recommended to go counterclockwise around the peninsula, because that is the way you get the most spectacular, astounding sudden view of Percé Rock, which is the iconic offshore rock structure up there that a lot of people know about. They've seen it in all the tourist brochures.
Wow.
But if you go counterclockwise, it suddenly appears as you come up over a rise. If you go the other way, you see it repeatedly in the distance before you get to it.
Oh, great tip. Well, thank you, Andrea, so much for calling in from Montreal. Jen, there, I did it again. I tried to correct myself, from Montpelier. Jen, have you heard of this place that she went to?
I have. The rock in particular is definitely one of the most famous landmarks in the Gaspé Peninsula. I also just wanted to shout out, as she mentioned, there's tons of indigenous culture in Quebec, and something that's coming up this summer that I think is really cool, a new permanent exhibition at the Huron-Wendat Museum outside of Quebec City in a community called Wendake is debuting, I think, next month, and it's going to be really good. Wendake is already an amazing place to learn about Wendat culture. And I think it's going to be a really special part of that.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. Well, you've had the chance to cover so many different topics for this new supplement that's out from 7 Days. Before we break, I want to talk a little bit about mountain biking, because I know one of the reporters you worked with got to do some exploring that might interest our mountain biking listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bern Brody, who's a writer also in Richmond, has done a ton of mountain biking in Quebec. And she had told me just that over the last decade, she watched it go from there's one main mountain biking center, which is Mont-Saint-Anne, where the World Cup has been. It's really famous. But several other centers have opened that have really helped establish it as a pretty major landmark in Eastern North America for mountain bikers. She said people compare it now to Whistler in British Columbia, which is like the gold standard. So she's been up there riding. She talked to riders about kind of how that happened and the investment. And one thing that I thought was really cool is she talked to trail builders in Vermont and Quebec who talked about the mutual inspiration that they draw from the trails. So trail builders from Quebec came down and visited Kingdom Trails in the Northeast Kingdom to learn about what they were doing, how to kind of emulate some of that flow and that structure and that planning. And then Vermont mountain bikers, like the people who are building some new trails in Stowe in particular, have been drawing more recently inspiration from Quebec City area trails.
Wow. Are you a mountain biker?
Not really.
I'm not either. I'm a little too scared, but maybe reading this story will inspire me to.
Every once in a while when a class 4 road turns out to be spicier than I thought, I'm a mountain biker, but not on purpose.
It sneaks up on you in Vermont sometimes. Let's add one more voice to the conversation here. Remy Charest is a food and wine writer based in Quebec City. He's judged national and international wine competitions and has been writing about food and wine for nearly 30 years. Remy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Remy, what do you look for in a menu when you go into a restaurant for the first time, either for yourself or to do an official review?
Oh, my. I haven't reviewed restaurants, luckily for me, I'd say, in years and years. But what I used to look like was, I'd say, coherence, that the whole program makes sense, food and drink, and that there's a particular outlook to it that provides an experience that's really distinctive. You know, there's a number of good restaurants that will do, you know, pizza, pasta, grilled meats and whatever, and sort of have a general range. But what makes it really interesting, and I think the key to what makes the scene exciting in Quebec City, is restaurants that have a really lovely focus on food and a beverage that goes with them.
Yeah. Okay, so that coherence between what's on your plate and what's in your glass. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some specific places in Quebec City that you have been loving recently. What's the last great meal that you had out?
Oh, man. I think one of my favorite is called Buvette Scott. So Buvette is kind of a French name for a wine bar. And it's on a small street in the Saint-Jean-Baptiste area, which is just outside of Old Quebec. And I think that's certainly a place that has that coherence. There's a great wine list that leans towards natural wines and organic wines and such that are very well chosen to go with the food. And there's just a very smart attention to produce, you know, to whatever's in the plate, great balance and flavor combinations, and just an easy experience. It's a small place. Everything feels very personal. And every time I feel like things come in above my already very high expectations. So it's really a favorite. That would be one. There's a fantastic pizza place that I love that's run by friends as well, I have to admit, over the years, just because I love the place so much. But it's a Neapolitan pizza place called Nina. There's two places for that. There's two Japanese restaurants that are side by side, one ramen place and an izakaya called Hono, H-O-N-O. They're just great, great sake programs. There's a restaurant that's out of the old city, a fair bit out on the street called McGuire, called Vert Pickle. And it's a place where the chef, there's two chefs and one of them is actually Mexican. So you get local produce, but with moles, for instance, but the moles are also made with local ingredients. So there's this mixing of cultures and just outlooks that brings it together. And I'd say that's outside of the center. And I think for Vermont visitors in particular, that's one thing that you should look for. There's great restaurants and a lot in the central areas in Old Quebec, for instance, which is the natural destinations because it's gorgeous and historical and everything. But you can step out and have absolutely great experiences everywhere around town, to be honest.
Jen, the food editor at 7 Days, Jordan Berry, spoke with Remy for a story about where to eat and drink in the city. And there was a highlight on kind of this divide that Remy's telling us about between like new school and old school restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, like Remy said, the old city is amazing. I would never tell someone to skip the old city. And I think it makes a pretty fun home base. I think the idea of a fortified city with cobblestone streets and high walls is not something that you come across very often in North America. For some people, it feels almost European. But outside of the old city, it often feels like that's where people kind of have the real estate to branch out and do something different and more creative. So I think encouraging people to experience the old style Quebec City and new style Quebec City seemed like exactly the right way to go.
Mm. Well, I think we have a caller calling in with a recommendation about Quebec City, Ben in Johnson. Ben, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. One place that I've really loved up in that area is the Parc Jacques-Cartier, just north of Quebec City, for hiking, canoeing, kayaking, and just some absolutely gorgeous views. It's the river goes through this very glacial scenery, so the road goes in through the glacial valley at the bottom. And it's absolutely gorgeous up there.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Thank you so much, Ben, for the recommendation. We also got an email from Haquin in Middlebury who writes, I want to highlight a few hidden gems from our travels. There's an incredible West African restaurant in Drummondville, halfway between Vermont and Quebec City, called Restaurant Africa Quabo. They make their own specialty drinks like spicy ginger juice and baobab juice, and the dishes are flavorful and well executed. Haquin also recommends visitors to Quebec City take a free tour of the National Assembly to learn more about Quebec's government and history. Remy, have you heard of this restaurant, Africa Quabo, in Drummondville, or other West African restaurants that you would highlight?
I actually had not in Drummondville, certainly not. I know there's a couple in Montreal, and I'm trying to remember the name of one. There was one in Quebec City that unfortunately folded with the last couple of years that have been more difficult for restaurants. But it's certainly one thing. The old and the new is absolutely true. You know, if you're in old Quebec, you do get Le Continental, for instance, which has been there since 1956, still does tableside service with Crepe Suzette and classics like that. And then right next door to it, there's a restaurant called Le Clan that really focuses on hyper-local supplies and just does things that are amazingly creative. And then there's all this mix of cultures, and that's diversified greatly, I'd say, in the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years from what was a very absolutely French and very sort of conservative city. It's expanded a lot over the last few years.
Mm. Do you have any advice for folks who might visit from our region of the United States who don't speak French, even if, like me, they wish they did? How tough is it going to be to navigate not just the city, but menus?
It's actually pretty easy, generally speaking. Most restaurants, not saying you'll have somebody who will recite Shakespeare to you, but you will get service in English just about anywhere. Most, certainly in the more central areas, there's generally English menus available, or otherwise the staff will be able to translate for you and do it. It's just such a common thing to get visitors, whether it's from the rest of Canada or from the northeastern United States, that I think everybody's pretty much prepared for it. That's also something that's changed a lot. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, getting a job was easy if you were bilingual for any touristic purposes because you were a rare bird. Nowadays, I think it's a lot more common on every level. Even outside Quebec, if you head east, for instance, in Charlevoix, which is really an absolutely beautiful region that's about an hour and a half from Quebec City, that would have been dicey to navigate without any French 30 years ago. Nowadays, I think it's pretty normal.
Mm. Well, one of the things that seems to be bringing a lot of Vermonters to Quebec these days is their spas, many of which are in those more rural areas that you're mentioning. Rod from Richmond writes, encourage folks to check out all the great spas in Quebec. Spa Scandinave in Old Montreal, Storm and Boda Boda on the St. Lawrence, and the many outdoor rural spas throughout the province. Jen, you were saying that you might take a little spa trip to celebrate this 7 days issue coming out. Yes?
I am, yeah. I'm going to Balneo tomorrow, which is in Bromont in the Eastern Townships, which is amazing. But, you know, there's just a constellation of Nordic spas in Quebec, and they're all different. And I definitely think people should kind of branch out and explore because it's really worthwhile.
I treated myself to some time at Balnea recently, and I ate at the restaurant, and it was just the most delicious Nordic-inspired sort of farm-to-table cuisine there. Remy, is that a trend at many of the spas and other restaurants in your region?
Oh, there's absolutely very good ones with restaurants attending, especially if they're attached to hotels, for instance. But there's one in particular called Sturm, which is right on the St. Lawrence River, just outside of Old Quebec, walking distance from Old Quebec, really. And just for that, the view is absolutely spectacular. You know, it is one of the great things about Quebec City, I have to say. I've lived there all my life. I've traveled an awful lot, but I keep catching myself that this is a really beautiful place. You have the St. Lawrence River, and if you're on, say, by the Chateau Frontenac, the famous hotel, you look out, you see the St. Lawrence River opening up with Île d'Orléans in the middle, and then on the north side, you have the Laurentian Mountains, and on the south, you see the tip of the Appalachian Mountains. So there's a lot of things around, and nature is very present around it. It's a very green city. Obviously, I think you can tell that I really like my
place. You're speaking our language, Remy. Let's go to the phones. We have Greg calling from Waterloo. Greg, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Michaela. Yeah, I lived about a year in Gaspé. This was many years ago. Actually, my second son was born at home in the Gaspé. And we lived in, my partner now, my present partner, and I were living in Dunham for about 3 years, where we had a workshop and boutique. And since then, we bought an acre of land just outside of Waterloo. And in Waterloo, there is this incredible restaurant that has just recently opened within the past couple of years, and it's called Madame Fortin, and it's right in the main intersection of Waterloo. And Karine Fortin, who was the owner, took this place, which had been a little bar, so-so bar before, and she completely transformed it. She has incredible food in there. They have good bar service with people who really know what they're doing. And they have, as far as beers are concerned, it's all artisanal beers from different local breweries around the townships. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember really good crispy French fries.
Yes.
But she makes these French fries. They are incredible. I mean, for people who remember really crispy, good, well-cooked French fries that aren't these floppy things that you get today, she makes them to a T.
Craig, that sounds amazing. I can definitely get behind any sort of enthusiasm over French fries, my favorite food. Jed, have you been to Waterloo or heard about this restaurant?
You know, I'm not exactly sure where Waterloo is. I have not been to this restaurant, but I am definitely in. I'm absolutely on the crispy fry train.
Remy?
I have not been to that particular place, but yes, of course, poutine being a thing, you know, poutine is fun in that respect because it used to be strictly like drunk food, to be honest, like late evening food or something that you do really like as a quickie, but not something that was so valued. And that's changed, and you find it in a lot of restaurants that take care of their fries, the curds, and special sauces that they put on top, for sure.
There you go. It looks like Waterloo is about partway between Montreal and Sherbrooke. We have a email from Frederick in Brattleboro, who writes, "We've been to Quebec City before without kids and had a great time. We have 11 and 15-year-olds who will be joining us this time. What are suggestions for places to engage and entertain our teen and preteen?" Remy, any thoughts?
Oh, man, I'm just past that phase. I have wonderful young adults that may be thinking about having kids soon, but I'm sort of between those phases. But certainly, like, if you're in Old Quebec, the Museum of Civilization has very good interactive exhibits and areas for action, you know, and activities that are available. Oh man, there's certainly a lot of sports things that can be done around, but I'm not, like, this is so not in my program right now.
No, congrats on getting out of the teenage phase. We don't mean to bring you back into it.
It went quite smoothly. Oh, good. Just something that, you know, I'm just done with personally. So.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Abner in East Barnard. Abner, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Michaela. I love your show.
Thank you.
I would like to give a shout out to the Ile d'Orléans, which is just east of Quebec City. It's just a beautiful little island to visit and do a little circumferential drive all the way around, and it's got some really nice restaurants. Also, I remember an old mill on the South Shore that is really good. The other thing that I really have loved about Quebec is the Gaspé, which has already been mentioned repeatedly. An earlier caller mentioned the Percé Rock, which is all the way out at the end, and that has always been a highlight for me in driving out there. And I should mention that at low tide, you can hike out to the rock, which has a hole in it. And also in the morning when the sun comes up, if you are exactly at the right spot, you can catch the sun shining right through that hole.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Abner, thank you so much for those recommendations. This place keeps coming up again and again, Jed. I have to go.
It's really special, and it's vast. I mean, I think the bigness of Quebec still catches me off guard. Like the Chic-Chocs, where I ski toured, I think are an 8-hour drive from Vermont. So it's doable, but you just have a sense of that scope.
Mm. Well, one place we have not touched on too much, surprisingly, is Montreal, the closest big city over the Vermont-Canada border. Remy, first, let's start with you. The last time you were in Montreal, was there a restaurant or bar that you loved going to, or is there an old favorite that you go back to again and again?
Oh, my, there's so many.
I go
less than I used to because my jobs have changed and all that. I used to go every 2-3 weeks. One of my very favorites is out in Verdun, in like the southwest part of the city, and it's called Beba. It's just an incredible fusion of, has everything from Argentinian to Jewish influences, amazing homemade pasta, fish that is taken care of using Japanese techniques to age it or prepare it. It's just a delight, and everything is a fantastic surprise. That would be my number one recommendation. And on the classic side, there's a place called L'Express that has been there for over 40 years. Just the most classic French, and great fries to go with your steak tartare, for instance.
Mm, now I'm very hungry. Well, while folks are up visiting Montreal and stuffing their faces, they can also do other things besides eat. Jed, I know the 70s travel issue that's out today has a story about places to explore in Montreal, right?
Yes. So the new arts editor at the 7 Days, Alice Dodge, is from Montreal, which is a total win for all of us. And she was going to some of the art places in the Griffintown area, which is kind of formerly industrial neighborhood on the waterfront. Used to be fairly derelict, and part of what sort of sparked the transformation of Griffintown were these art projects like Fondry Darling, and then Arsenal Contemporary Art later on, and now there's New City Gas, this old gasworks that's a visual art space and a performance space. And then she just also called out some cool places to see art a little bit farther afield in the city, because there's so much to choose from.
Well, we cannot wait to dive into this issue. It's available online and in print this week. Jen Rose Smith, guest editor for 7 Days, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a real treat. And Remy Charest from Quebec City, a food and wine writer. You might have the best job out there. Thank you so much for joining us.
A lot of fun, and so happy to speak to Vermont, because it's my neighborhood, I'd say, as well. I just love coming there as much as I hope people love coming here.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we're all connected. That's part of the theme of today's show.